my manner of life from before or from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Now I stand, am adjudged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Which should be, or why should it be, thought a thing incredible unto you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them off in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Above the brightness of the sun shone round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul speaking here, he says, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. These causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having there obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He thus spake for himself. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. The king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I want you to notice in verse number 2. When Paul began this speech, this talk, this sermon, if you will, he said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. He's saying that because he's going to give answer. Festus said, much learning hath made thee mad. They thought he was crazy. They thought something was going on. But notice, as he said in verse number 25, he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. I want to preach a message entitled this morning, Are You Happy or Have You Just Lost Your Mind? Pray together, shall we? Father, we come to you. We thank you so much for this day. And God, I pray that you would meet with us in a way that we can say that only you have. God, I pray that you would just bind the thoughts of our minds away from us, that we might focus upon the preaching and teaching of your holy word. May we identify as with Paul this morning, that we might be able to say that in you we find joy and happiness that this world cannot bring. Help us this day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And amen. As Paul is giving this testimony, again, being in bonds and in chains asunder, he starts off by saying, I think myself happy. By the time he gets to the end of his testimony, they think that he is crazy. Now, we know, because we know the Apostle Paul, that Paul, we know, definitely was not crazy. He experienced something in the Lord Jesus Christ that only Jesus Christ could do in his life. But yet those that heard it, and those that were sitting by understood, or thought they understood, that Paul has obviously lost his mind. But Paul said, I'm happy. Sometimes we would use the excuse, or we would use the phrase, if you will, that's crazy. We say that a lot. We say, oh, that's crazy, or he's crazy, or she's crazy. Well, what is crazy? Crazy is something that of something that has been broken or weakened, or something that is disordered in intellect, something that is deranged or shattered in mind. Paul definitely was not crazy. He was not mad. He was not a loony. He had not lost his mind. He was in his right mind as he stood before them. But I want you to notice a few things in this passage this morning as Paul begins to share this testimony. He begins by telling them how his life began, how this ministry began in his life. He says, I was a Jew. I was raised as a Jew. He says, I was there. He said, I was taught the law and I followed the law. He said, so much so that when I became of age, I became a Pharisee, one that knew the law backwards and forwards. Paul had so much zeal. Did you notice the incredible claim that Paul made in verse number 9? Look at it, if you will, real quickly. He said, I verily thought with myself that I ought do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I thought myself. Now, in this, we have three different kinds of thought here. We have Paul saying in the very beginning, he said, I think myself happy. I want you to take note that Paul's happiness was not in his circumstances. Amen? They were not in his circumstances. As a matter of fact, he said later on, he said, I wish that everybody was like me, being a Christian and meaning a Christian. But he said, except for these bonds. Paul didn't want to be arrested. He didn't want to be in prison. He didn't want to go through all of these things. But yet, he still found happiness. But notice again this second thought while he says there in verse number 9. He says that I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I was brought up to follow the law. He said, I was brought up to do all of these things. And what I thought I was doing for God, I knew I was doing against the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Can you imagine that claim there? The zeal that Paul must have had for the law, and that even in this that Paul had for God. You see, Paul thought he was doing right. He thought he was doing what he should be doing. And his whole goal and his whole life centered around stopping the name of Christ from going any further. But yet he had an undeniable encounter. While he had this incredible claim, he said, I'm going to stop Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ that stopped him. Did you get that? Did you pick up on that? As he's going with orders in his hands from the chief priests. He's on the road to Damascus. He's there. He's chased people out of Jerusalem. He sent them into hiding, and he's going with orders in his hands to make them stop, to arrest them. Paul, even having some sentenced to death, he says on the road, notice in verse 14 or verse 13, he says, at midday, O king, I saw the way alight from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Can you imagine how bright this light had to be? Now, this wasn't at nighttime. This wasn't at any other time. This was during the middle of the day. During the middle of the day, while the sun is shining, Paul sees another light shining brighter than the sun. He said, and I hear a voice after we've all fallen to the ground saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Paul says from the ground, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. You see, this is something that's undeniable to Paul because it happened to Paul. And don't you find it interesting that there were those that were with him that could account for that? I get real nervous when a guy says that he saw something. Nobody else was around. I know it's happened in other times, but we know the Word of God is true. And Paul is saying, he's like, hey, there's others around. He said, I see this light shining from heaven, brighter than the sun, and I hear a voice. And the natural question is, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he begins this call. He says, rise. He said, get up, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. What was the purpose? Notice what he says, to open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul met Jesus on that road to Damascus. And he said, I had this encounter. It's undeniable. It's undeniable in this. And we see through this Spirit-directed sermon, as he says in verse 19, he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He said, I obeyed everything that the voice said. I obeyed everything that Jesus told me to do. And he's standing there before Agrippa on that day because of what Jesus told him to do. In verse 22, he said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He says, I'm not saying anything different than the prophets said. Nothing different. I said, Paul, you must be crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I'm happy. Why? Because I think myself happy. Can I just give you three very quick thoughts concerning this passage of Scripture this morning? How can we apply this to our lives? Can I tell you that I know that among people, we are constantly searching for something to make us happy. Almost everything we do is in pursuit of our own happiness. Where we go, what we eat, everything consumes us about our happiness. But can I tell you three things this morning? Number one, that we will be at our happiest only when we believe God. We will only be at our happiness only when we believe God. Believe His word. You know, I will tell you that sometimes believing God defies logic. Sometimes believing God doesn't go with what makes sense, but yet we must believe. I think about some of these events in Scripture. When David went and faced the giant, it was really impossible, but God. It was an impossible task that David was entering into. But when David went and faced the giant, he didn't go with his own ideas. He went that God should be glorified. He went that God's name would be known among the nations, among the world. And oh, has it been known among the world. David said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Oh, may we live our lives for that to be known. Think about the three Hebrew boys. It didn't make much sense for them to not bow the knee and pray when they knew they weren't supposed to. It didn't make much sense. It would have made sense to just go in and bow to the image. But they said, no, we're not doing that. God has called us to a greater place. They said, whoever doesn't bow to the image is going into the furnace. Okay. They said, God is greater. It defied logic to believe that God would withhold them as they cast them into the fiery furnace, closed the door, came back a little while later, opened the door of the furnace to see three in the furnace plus one. He said, hey, didn't we cast three men into the fire? Hey, I see four. Who is that? Oh, only likened to the Son of Man, to the Son of God. Jesus Himself appearing in the fire with the three Hebrew boys. You see, it defies logic when we believe God. We've mentioned this several times in the last few weeks, but the walls of Jericho, can I tell you, it defied logic for the children of Israel to walk around the city of Jericho for 7 days. Why are we doing this? We can't defeat this city. Remember when the spies came into the land and they said, oh, there's giants in the land. There's cities in the land. It's a great and marvelous land, but we can't go there. That's not possible. And now here they are, and they come to that first battle, and God says, just walk around it. Seven times, walk around 7 days. Walk around once on the seventh day, walk around seven times. When you're done walking, blow the trumpet. Wait till the next day. And the next day, 7 days they did this. And on the seventh day and the seventh time, they circled that city. They blew the trumpet. The walls came down. You see, it defied logic. But yet they believed God. When Paul was on this road to Damascus, and Jesus said, get up and go because I've called you. It defies logic. Why would God use a man like Paul? I think only to show the grace of God. Because I'm telling you, if God can use a man like Paul, who persecuted his church, he can use any of you. You just need to believe God. Even when it defies logic, believe God. Even when it looks impossible, God is bigger than the circumstances. How big is your God? We sing the song, some we like to say it's a children's song, but my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. There's so many songs that we sing that we love to sing, and they have a beautiful melody and they're catchy and we can have them in our heads, but when it comes to acting upon what we're singing, we stop and we say, well, I don't think that's possible. God is greater and bigger than your circumstances. God is greater than the odds. I'm telling you, if we were to come down and say, all right, how many of you want David and how many of you take Goliath? I wonder what kind of spread Las Vegas would have put on that, Shane. A big one. 100-1? I don't know. I don't gamble, so I don't know the odds. I'm not saying Shane does. I have no idea. But maybe somebody can enlighten me after the service. I don't know. But 100-1 is not good. I mean, it's a long shot. That's what it was. I tell you, there are no long shots with God. The only shot there is a straight shot, amen? When David slung that rock, I mean, it went straight, boom, forehead of Goliath. That's where it went. Sunk inside of there, he fell. David runs over. Honestly, it's a gory story. It really is, but it's awesome. We talk about David when he knocked him out, killed him with the rock. David wanted to make sure he went over and grabbed Goliath's sword because he didn't have one. Cut his head off. I don't know how much a human head weighs. Some probably weigh more than others. Goliath, I think, had a big one. When he was 9 feet tall, you can't imagine a small head on a 9 foot tall man. He had a giant head. David chopped it off. You got a picture. If you get grossed out easily, don't picture this in your mind. But David grabbed Goliath by the hair of the head and held it up. Don't picture it, Abby. It's gross. She's down here saying that's so gross. As he holds the head of Goliath in his hand, his body's there, his head is here. What is that? That's God. David shouldn't have won that fight. He shouldn't have. But God. You see, he defied the odds. God is not held by location. Amen? Look, I know, in business, what do we talk about? We talk about location, location, location. Location will make or break a business. Churches look for good locations, and you can have a good location, and you can have a bad location and still have a good church. I can tell you about a church in Walkertown, North Carolina. Anybody know where Walkertown, North Carolina is at? It's a town of about 300 people. That's all that's in the town. God sent a man there by the name of Bobby Robertson. Started a church. He's been pastoring there over 50 years now. Been there a long time. Town has 300 people in it, Bob. Over 3,000 people in the church. How's that happen? Why would that happen? Except God. Didn't have a good location. I mean, you say Walkertown, it's like, huh? I mean, it's not like it's Winston-Salem. Somewhere like that. I mean, it's a town of 300 people. It defies logic, and God usually defies logic. And he defies the odds, and he's not held by a location. Can I tell you, God is not held by a class of people. Amen. God doesn't just look down and say, hey, you know what? Cream of the crop right there. I mean, again, You know, the people when they said, hey, we want a king. God, can we have a king? Give us a king. Give us a king. Give us a king. God said, look, I'm not really for it, but go right ahead. And they chose Saul. Why'd they choose Saul? Well, the Bible tells us. He was the biggest. He was a good-looking man. The Bible describes Saul as being head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. Saul had popularity. Saul knew how to fight. He knew how to lead. He was can we say it like this? We say this a lot. He was a natural-born leader. The problem with Saul was he wasn't a natural-born follower. Saul thought he was in charge. He messed up, and God said, well, that's because that's not who I had. So he sends Samuel on a journey to anoint the next king of Israel. He says, you're going to find him at Jesse's house, one of Jesse's sons. Here we go again. From the oldest through seven of them. He said, surely this is the one. The oldest, he's the smartest, he's the best looking, most athletic. There's nothing he can't do. God said, nope, not him. Seven times God said no. Samuel said, got any more sons? Now one more? But he's the last, and he's just a kid, and he keeps the sheep. Samuel said, well, you better go get him. And here comes David. Yes, Dad. He said, Samuel's here to see you. The prophet. God said, he's the one. That's him. See, it was not about a class of people. We can just believe God. And I promise you that you will be at your happiest only when you believe God. Number two, we will only be at our happiness when we follow where God says to go. Saul, what are you doing? Verse number 16, he said, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Verse number 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I think myself happy. I'm in prison. Hey. That's not why Paul was happy. He was happy because he followed Christ. And he went where God told him to go. And he did what God told him to do. Philip followed God. He said, I want you to go south. Philip went and met upon with an Ethiopian eunuch, and God used him to lead the man to Christ. Oh, yeah. You see, when we go where God says to go, amazing things will happen. Amazing. And I promise you, you'll be at your happiness when you go where God tells you to go. Moses did. Moses came upon that burning bush that the Bible says was not consumed as it burned. Want me to do, God? He said, Moses, take your shoes off. The place where you're standing is holy ground. Now what? He said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Say what? Tell who? And I'll tell you, Moses had all kinds of excuses. And he used them. And he told God all the reasons why he couldn't, and God told him all the reasons why he could. Amen? And none of those reasons had to do with Moses. Hallelujah. He just said, Moses, you go where I tell you to go, and I'll take care of the rest. You say what I want you to say, and I'll take care of the rest. Moses, it's not about you, and it's not about anybody else. It was all about God. And we want to seek happiness, and we want all of these things in our life, but yet we try to do things our way, and we always end up unhappy. Isn't that amazing how that works out? I mean, we go through all of this reasoning, and we go through all of these things to try to find some happiness in our life, and yet we always end up in the same place, and that's unhappiness. Why? Because we're trying to do our own thing. We go through in this pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Happiness can only come with lasting happiness and true joy when we follow what God wants us to do. It's the only way it will work. God called a man by the name of Abraham. He lived in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. He said, Abraham, I want you to follow me. Well, where are we going? I'll show you. We get in the car. Sometimes we'll tell our kids, hey, get in the car. And you know how sometimes you want to surprise your kids? You ever do that, Bob? You want to surprise them, so you say, get in the car. Well, where are we going? Does it really matter? You said, get in the car, right, Randall? It matters, though, doesn't it, Abby? She wants to know, where are we going? Sometimes we take them horrible places. Let's go swim with the leeches. I mean, we've never done that. Let's go pet the alligators. We've never done that. We don't, I mean, just, you know, let's go lay on a bed of nails, walk through fire. We don't do that. We're not going horrible places other than Walmart. That's about the most horrible we would go. But we're not going horrible places. And sometimes we want to surprise them because we know they'll be excited once we get there. God called Abraham and said, come on. Where are we going? I'll show you. Matter of fact, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm an old man. This is Abraham. He's an old man. His wife, not quite as old, but she was beyond her childbearing years. And God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Just follow me. Can I tell you, there was a time that Abraham tried to find his own happiness. Sarah said, I'm too old. You need to go see Hagar. So he did. She had a child. And they thought that would bring him happiness. It did not. See, Abraham doing his own thing actually made things pretty unhappy. See, happiness comes when we do and go where God tells us to go. Number one, we'll be at our happiness only when we believe God. Number two, we will be at our happiness only when we follow where God says to go. Number three, and we'll bring this to a close. We will be at our happiness when we get excited about what God is doing in our lives. I will tell you, it's not always exciting. Doesn't always seem exciting, but when God is at work, God is at work. And when God is at work, that ought to be exciting in our lives. We may not understand its purpose. We may not understand why it's going on. But I tell you this, when Paul was in prison, he started out by saying, I thank myself happy. And it wasn't in his circumstances. It was only because he was where God had him for such a time as this. We want happiness in our lives. Nehemiah got excited about building a wall. A wall of stones and rocks and hard work and hard labor. He got excited about it, and he got other people excited about it. And they started building this wall. And during the middle of the building of the wall, some enemies rose up against them and stood against them, and to a point where they had to work with a sword in this hand and a hammer in this hand. And people had to stand guard while the work was going on so they could complete the work. Why did they do that? Because they were excited about it. We need to get excited again about what God is doing in our lives. An old dad got excited one day. His son came to him, said, Dad, I want my inheritance. He took his inheritance and he left the home. The Bible tells us he went and he wasted his substance on riotous living. Hadn't contacted home, hadn't done anything. Except waste his life and waste his money. It's hard to be excited about, isn't it? But you see, God was at work even in the wasting of the substance. Because the Bible says, when he came to the end of himself, when he came to the end of himself, he said, the servants at my dad's house have it better. I will go to him and ask him to make me as one of them. Inside the house, his dad, looking out the window, sees a figure coming down the driveway, coming down the walkway. His dad. Yeah. He runs out to meet him, throws his arms around his son's neck. Welcome home. So glad to see you. He says, Dad, I've messed up. Didn't do what I was supposed to. I've messed up. Can I be one of your servants? He says, come in, come in. Tells the servants, get a robe. Somebody find a ring, put it on his finger. My son that was dead is now alive. Oh, he got excited. What is there to get excited about? You can get excited to know that God is at work in your life. God is at work in your life. You say, but the circumstances, Pastor, God is greater than the circumstances. You say, but I don't know where I'm going. God does. Get excited about it. Because it's only then that you will find that true longing, joy, and happiness that you're already looking for. Some of you are sitting here this morning miserable. And you don't have to be. The most wonderful part of all of this is you don't have to be miserable in your life. You choose to be. You say, no, I don't. I want to be happy. And yet you're miserable. And everything you do in life is in the pursuit of happiness, and you always find misery. Believe God. Follow him and get excited about it even when you don't understand it. Be excited about what God is doing in your life, and happiness will be yours. head bowed, every eye closed. We've used lots of biblical examples here this morning. Where are you at? God, believe Him, follow Him, and get excited about what He's doing in your life. Our Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning, God, that we might think ourselves happy, knowing that You always tell us the truth. May we think ourselves happy as we follow where You say to go. And may we think ourselves happy because we're excited about what You're doing in our lives. Move within our midst this morning. Have Your way. In Jesus' name, I pray.